much did you want us to put in?
20 million.
We said 20 to 25.
Because I loved your question, how much, and so they asked for a substantial investment. Right. I didn't want to ask them what to them is a substantial.
Since they only have two, 20 or 25. 20 or 25
would be very good.
Yeah, no, I agree. But
Tim,
let me share some concerns here, so we can put everything on the table. I think it's an incredibly intriguing space of the market, and as Bob said, and I think several have alluded to, there's going to be money spent here. I don't think that's really at issue. My concern is, from this board's perspective, there has been a practice towards preferring fund-to-funds. And the reason, one of the reasons, has been diversification. We go into a fund-to-funds, we're diversified across venture capital, across buyout, large, small, U.S., non-U.S. When we step away from that model, it's not necessarily a bad thing, and quite frankly, it can be a very good thing to step away from that model. You lose a layer of fees, et cetera. But what you do tend to give up is some element of diversification. Again, not necessarily a bad thing. My concern here is there is a line in the sand that this board needs to develop as far as how specialized you are willing to go on a direct basis in the absence of having either an internal staff to oversee these direct funds or an external party to oversee these direct funds. To me, that line in the sand stands somewhere between a Homeland Security fund that's fairly broadly diversified, a narrow goal, but a number of industries. What I'm hearing today, it's half of that. It's the winners in here, the cybersecurity. I get concerned that this is gonna be too narrowly focused for this board, and that's the concern I would share. But this is just so highly specialized that if the segment doesn't develop the way we expect it to, there's not a lot of protection built into it.
You're talking risk.
I'm talking the risk. I mean, I think the money's going to be spent in the space. If there's a breakout technology and all the money goes to that fund or that industry or that company, and that's not the company we have, it just we've kind of segmented down to this very narrow focus in this particular fund. I think it's very intriguing, but I get worried about the risk inherent in a narrowly focused fund.
And Tim, I think it was in your, or maybe it was in Milliman's write-up, the Homeland Security Fund or the prior Paladin funds had bet money on WiMAX as being the mobile.
Yeah.
High speed, and they lost, or WiMAX lost, and they lost, where 4G LTE was the winning technology. So I think that goes to your concern.
My concern is, if you could very easily play out a scenario where they back the winning technology and it's a huge home run. You can equally play out the scenario where they back the runner-up.
Betamax.
And you have a zero market share. Yeah. And that in this context is my concern. I share Milliman's enthusiasm for the space, but I get worried about the risk inherent.
How long would we be invested in them?
In a private equity, up to a decade.
Yeah.
Decade.
They're investing in multiple companies. It's not like you're saying they invest in one.
Yeah. That was what I was going to say. Is the counterpoint to what Tim just said is, A, it's 20 to 25 million. In a very large fund that you guys run, so you're not betting all your chips. And the other is your point, Gabe, that it's a number of companies that they're invested in, and if you run into a WiMAX problem, they're not going to invest in that stuff going forward, but if you run into a WiMAX-like experience in one of your funds, you've still got
others.
Other yeah. ones.
Tim, I come out of this. This was more salesy than I've seen in my 3 years. Three, particularly the two guys, looked to me like their primary role was to sell investors. We're also listed, by the way, in whatever it was, page 7, as one of their, whatever they call it, strategic partners. But I mean, I'm assuming we're not there yet.
No, you are.
Yeah, we are.
You're invested.
We're in Paladin. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. It was an uncomfortable process for me. watching them. You know, I'm talking about body language. I'm talking about the way they responded. They struck me as salesmen that may do a little something back at the office, but basically the role is to sell things.
See, they struck me as pure military. Pure military.
Well, and selling to people, I mean, the name dropping, Bill Gates, a great friend of mine, you know, this kind of stuff, I just immediately to me.
Also, he said he was still involved in the company, and Gates is not involved in the company.
Well, I'm looking for lots of confidence, at least my vote, from you that this is likely to be a successful investment.
I have some concern that they didn't present to us their organizational structure and a management team of the firm.
That's why I say they're military.
It's sort of a flat line. You know, and I say that because I imagine it going through the due diligence, although we've already, you know, somewhat approved them on the first level basis. Somebody went through due diligence with this firm. But I worry about a 10-year investment with you know, people who we haven't really identified who the management is, and it could seem to change.
How much do we have invested with them in three?
$25 million commitment.
So have we ever done a site visit?
Yes.
Somebody did a long time ago.
So if we did move forward with this, we go through all that due diligence, would we do a site visit, or do we always do, we don't always do a site visit?
Always do a site visit.
That may allay some of those concerns. I mean,
Jerry?
Yeah. For me, when I look at an investment, there's a couple of things going on. And with this one, I was really worried about their returns. I didn't think their returns were going to be good. But I see that even though they've had trouble with three, that the IRR was 14 and the real return is 4% now, with more evidently coming in, at which will make it higher. So that gave me some confidence. The other thing that made me feel good today, and yeah, there was some sales going on, but I was really impressed with Nilo.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. I mean, I got the impression from your comments that they belittled her at the conference.
That's why they brought her.
But I felt like she holds her own when she's in those meetings and the investment meetings, and that she's a stronger person than what I was getting the picture of from your comments. So I was impressed. Let me finish. I was impressed with that. And the third thing is, I'm a man that's looking at cyber and saying, this is where it's happening, this is where it's going, and if we don't get on the train, we're going to miss out on it, and I'm a victim of it. I just got hit for $9,500 on my credit card that I didn't charge, and I'm a victim. And so I'm looking for people that can stop those incidents from occurring, not only on an individual basis, but on a company basis, on a national basis, and on a state and county basis. I see it. I think we need it in our own system. So for me, I'm willing to go with it. It's 25 or it's 20, I don't care. I'm willing to go with it. I think that it's not also a huge amount of money. I think it's something worth getting. And if we're the first ones on this train, and this thing blows and goes big, we're in. We can go more down the road if it looks good. I understand all your arguments, Tim, and how you're worried about it being narrow. But this, to me, is not going to be a narrow thing. And I think we see it, we read it, and now I felt it. And I'm ready to find somebody to do something about it. And I think these people can do it. So that's kind of where I am.
Marilyn?
Question for Tim. How long have they been fundraising for this? And what are your feelings about us being the first ones in? Because we would have over 90% of the fund, and we don't want to think that that's where we're going to be on a first close.
If you were 20 and they indeed
they
have 35.
No, they have two actually signed.
That's what they said.
The others are soft
but they wouldn't
circle.
Close it. They've made a commitment to us that they would not close if it were less than 60.
So we'd be 30 to 40%. That's a large amount of a fund. I just want Tim's feeling on.
You look at the worst case scenario here. Let's say the board can make a commitment subject to a fundraising size. So they can't close unless they hit X dollars. If you make a $20 million commitment and they can't close unless they hit 60, and they don't raise a dollar beyond that, you're 33% of the fund. A $60 million fund is, in my mind, not a viable fund at all. So that would be, you have first mover disadvantage in this case because you don't know that they're going to reach their fundraising size. So when you commit to the first close, you don't really have the clarity whether that's going to be a $300 million fund or a $100 million fund.
We commit to several iterations, that is, commit to $10 million on 60, and commit to a second $10 million a year later.
You can.
I'm with Jerry on this to some extent, and thank you for your questions, Jerry, because on the defense cuts, because she hit something that I heard on the news last night, which was that we're downsizing and going to the special forces, and then she said cyber. And I was very watchful of her. I don't know if Deborah caught it, but she kept referring to him as the general and the general and the general. And then she finally used his first name, which tells me in private or in their work environment that she doesn't feel she has to use that honorific all the time. So I feel more comfortable with that. You all have much more experience, and being first in or what have you. You just said something, Tim, that I was sort of going to. If they only can raise $60 million, do they say, hey, it's not worth it to put our all our time and energy in this, and then they is there a legal mechanism where they just return money to folks? And
if they make a close, they've got that commitment, and they move forward with that dollar amount.
Well, why don't we say if they don't get the $60 million, we're out of it? Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Why don't we say that? Then we don't have to worry about it.
I mean, as long as the board understands, I just want to go back to the original point I was making. It's a very narrow focus. And to your point, Jerry, there is going to be cybersecurity companies represented across our fund-to-funds platforms, not in the concentration. And so you need to make a decision collectively as a board that this is something where, I hate to use the term double down, but it's like you're going to have the broad exposure and you feel like there's not going to be enough broad exposure in your fund-to-funds relationships. You need more directly. And that needs to be an affirmative statement that you need additional capacity here.
That's one of the questions I have is, have you taken a look at if there's any crossover in the last fund between the companies that they invested in directly and some of the companies we're exposed to in the other fund-to-funds that we're in?
The
crossover there?
I had conversations with each of our fund-to-funds managers. None of the fund-to-funds managers has committed to Paladin, so that level of overlap was not on the table. I believe Adam Street's direct team in Menlo Park shared one deal with Paladin. Mm-hmm. That was the extent
of it.
That I've found, yeah.
What's the downside of us being like the largest investor in a fund? Or having the majority of the money in there, if it's managed well, and
well, you won't be the majority.
The 30 to 40, even if I get that we don't want to be such a large, or there must be pros and cons to being whatever term more than what are we usually like 5%? Are we usually 10%? Are we usually a small percent? So 30% or 40% of a fund is not good. I'm getting
10% is the normal.
Okay.
That we try to shoot for. It's not
No, I know it's what we shoot for. What's the downside if we're more than that? Obviously, if there's losses,
you're sharing them disproportionately. You're not in there with your brethren from other systems. You know, is there can I point to a single downside? No, I mean, if it's successful, you have a bigger portion of it. If it's not successful, you have a bigger portion of the downside. There's certainly a comfort in numbers that other systems, other retirement plans or other investors are coming in alongside you.
I was going to ask if they had other retirement plans in there, but I thought you could tell me that if I didn't need to ask them.
Not that I know of.
It is interesting that they've been pitching this for quite a while.
Yeah. It's been about a year.
It's interesting that they haven't gotten apparently any other bites.
Well, that's a good piece.
They've had, and it's been aggressively. I mean, if you extrapolate Peter Chung's efforts with regard to
He didn't
to
answer
this
your question, by the way.
No, he didn't.
He never said, oops, we shouldn't have done that.
I know.
Harvey has.
And they've only raised $2 million hard dollars signed, and those are from overseas individual investors. And the $35 to $40 million that have committed but have not signed and are sitting on the sidelines, I'm just not comfortable with this. I mean, if it's such a hot area, and it is, clearly there are problems with it, but are they the right ones to be doing this? With regards to their corporate structure, this is the only one that I've ever presentation I've ever heard that didn't list out, okay, this is people on the investment committee. You got a bunch of consultants that are all have fancy titles and have worked for government agencies, but who's making the real decisions, and why not come up? This isn't their first toe in the water. This is their fourth fund now, and I'm just not comfortable, especially it's a small investment, but it's going to be more of a headache to us for a small investment. It may be a home run. I just don't feel comfortable with where this is now. I mean, fundraising for a year, and they could go back to investors like us who invested in the first three funds, and it doesn't sound like any of those people have re-upped, at least signed on the dotted line anywhere. There's just something that I think we walk away. If they get up to $250 million and they need another $25 or $30 million, yeah, maybe we look at it again. But I don't want to be the bait that they hang out there these other $30 to $40 million and say, hey, Contra Costa signed up. You guys want to come in now. I don't want to be that position.
But if we look at it after, the fees will be higher.
So
why?
I don't think so.
They'll raise the fees. Because we'll be a secondary person coming in. We won't be the primary.
They can't raise the fees. The fees are contractual.
That's if we sign this contract.
No,
they'll stay the same.
It's 2% and the 80-20 split.
I disagree. I think they can do it.
Who's their coding? It's 2 and 20, right?
Yeah.
It's a standard fee.
And what are the fees in the one we're in?
2 and 20.
2 and 20. I mean, they're probably not going to change it. The only comment I want to make, whichever way you go, they are in violation of our placement agent policy. Peter Chung is clearly a placement agent. The law clearly provides, and they know this, that it's a placement agent is not just a marketer outside your organization. It's also someone inside your organization. So you should all know that. And if you're inside an organization, the manager, and you don't spend at least a third of your time actually managing the assets, then you are a placement agent.
I mean, part of
you have to register and do all those things that we require in our placement agent policy. So he's clearly not spending a third.
And
of
part
his
of
time.
Their part of the problem with their structure is there's no way to
no
track
way to tell
who's doing what or how.
Oh, that's right.
How much,
I mean,
so.
And you should get disclosure on that. So you know, whatever decision you make in terms of whether it's a good investment or not, you need to deal with the issue that they are in violation of the policy. They haven't made disclosures. They haven't made the campaign disclosures. So we need to get them in line. If we're going to go forward, we need to get them in line with the policy.
Well, and that goes also to the Paladin, the three fund, the current fund that we're invested in. They're filing here.
Sounds like we need a good compliance officer to go after.
They might have one. We don't know.
And just to follow up on Harvey's point, I had the conversation with Mike Steed, and from his perspective, Peter does spend a third of his time in asset management. From his perspective.
From his perspective, Peter does what?
Spends at least a third of his time on asset management.
But he's not listed as part
of
the team.
But his name's not on anything.
So then, was it legal for him to contact us or not? I don't. If he spends a third of his time.
That's just, yeah, I mean, the quiet period applies to the entire firm, regardless of your role within the firm.
I just want to mention one other thing. In the presentation that I saw in D.C. last year, Neela was introduced as someone who had left the employment of Paladin and had gone to work some of the investments that they had, which was Zone Partners. I'm not sure what McKinsey and O'Melveny and Myers were, but in that presentation,
it's a law firm. Yeah.
In that presentation, she was introduced as having left the firm, and that was when the remark was made.
We heard something today.
Yeah, she said that she's
working with the firm.
Portfolio company.
Yeah, so I'm wondering whether she's on temporary assignment or whether she's just doing them a favor.
It is common for venture folks to work inside a company to act as temporary management or consultant.
And I should also just mention that these guys, I got a call from Mike Steed day before yesterday saying, by the way, if they make a substantial investment, we're willing to cut fees a little bit. So that 2 and 20 is probably negotiable, though he was talking numbers bigger than 20 to 25.
For the various reasons that have been proposed or presented, and I agree with virtually all of them, and because in the IT business they talk about the leading edge, but I refer to it often as the bleeding edge, I would make a motion that we not make this investment.
Second.
Further discussion.
You know where I am. I feel like it's something that we should be getting into. These people offered the opportunity to do that. If it kicks off and if it goes, and 2 years from now they're breaking, and we miss out on 20% or 25% returns, I'm like, oh my God. But you know, it goes by a vote. I have one vote. So my vote would be no to your.
I have so I hear everyone's concerns. From my background and experience in IT is that this is a tremendous opportunity to be focused on this because I see it just exploding. If you look at Target, if you look at everything going to the cloud, if you look at the military attacks, everything's going to security. And I know that it's not as diverse, it's very concentrated, but I'm with Jerry. I think it's going to explode. I also find extreme value in the value that they're providing with all their military experience. I think that's a huge point, and they are value added to their companies. But I do hear all the concerns. Question for me is, what's the track record been on, and I know it's in here, but just to sum it up for the discussion, what's the track record been more recently with Palladium 3? In terms of their performance?
The numbers are here towards the end somewhere.
It's about a 15% gross IRR, 4% net IRR.
Yeah, it actually, I think they've got numbers through December, mm-hmm. and the numbers have gone up just a little bit. It's 15.6 and 5.6.
And then I remember reading this, and I don't have it memorized, that the cyber portion of one of their funds was extremely higher return. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
If you just isolate the cyber.
If you isolate the companies that they classify as cyber in the prior fund, those were the highest performing ones to date.
So I think that maybe they're – I understand all the concerns that they've been raising money for a while, but it sounds to me like they have tremendous success in cyber, and I think that they're trying to take that, realizing that the market's going to just explode in cybersecurity. But I do hear the concerns, so I would ask that the board consider making, because it also sounds I'm hearing concerns about the funding levels, and if we put some type of possibly reducing the fees with a qualification of meeting an overall investment for their fund, so that, you know, so maybe they make to $100 million and then we come in for 20 and we reduce the fees to give us, I mean, if they're not, we do have the advantage here. There's a disadvantage to being the only major hard investor, but there's also an advantage where you can negotiate fees and you can change other things. So there's also an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if you're coming in at a significant dollar level, you can negotiate the fees. I would say the negotiating level is north of where Milliman's recommendation is in dollars.
That was the impression I got was 35 would probably be the minimum they'd need to be negotiable. Now, it depends, I suppose, on how hard up they are. But so maybe it'd be lower than that. But I don't know. I can't, certainly can't say that that would happen.
What's the vintage year of the existing investment?
2007.
Yeah.
So we're 7 years into it.
Homeland Security was 2002.
Is that the one we're in?
It's in there somewhere.
We're in Paladin 3.
2008.
2008.
So we're 6 years into it.
I think what we get with them is a relationship. If I'm preparing for the military and I get an appointment with General Clark and Wesley Clark or this gentleman, and I think it's impressive. So I see their values being in relationships.
Will, I did find a number that you had asked about. The 15% gross return for all of Paladin 3, but it's 40% for the companies they identify as cyber.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much higher. And we went through company by company and say, are they misclassifying? And they appear to be classifying it reasonably. Mm-hmm. One thing they do have that's unique is some of these companies give government financing for R&D. Mm-hmm. So literally, it's free money to develop products, and they can commercialize it.
Mm-hmm.
That's uncommon.
So I'd like to, since it's up for discussion, I'd like to say, is the board willing to do something along the lines of if they meet $100 million, do a $20 million commitment with a reduction of fees?
Can we vote on what's on the table?
You could make a substitute motion. There's a motion with a second on the table right now, and then you'd have to get a second to your substitute motion. And we'd vote on that one first, and then the original mm-hmm. motion.
And how feasible is that motion that he's made?
There would have to be a conversation.
I'll make the motion that we give them $20 million and that we renegotiate the fees at a lower rate, and if we can get a lower rate on the fees, then we'll go.
With no...
With qualification of a...
Okay.
Yeah, with the...
Well, I think you can do one or the other, but
yeah, you can't
I'm
do
not
both.
Sure you can do both.
Oh, really?
I'd rather
I
go
I don't
with
think
the...
you'll get...
Okay.
Yeah, the 20 is probably... I don't know that they're negotiable at 20.
Okay.
But we can put a cap on it or I don't
minimum.
Know. A minimum, like, well, 20, but you've got to raise... With commitments to at least 60, and I guess we have that 20. They said they have the 35, so that's still at 55. They got 2 million, so they've still got to get 3 million more, which I guess isn't that difficult.
Can we do that?
You can put the cap wherever you'd like. You could be a percentage of any given close and increase it over time. With each close, you can put a cap on your total dollar. I think the question before the board is really a yes or no, and if it's a yes, how do you implement it?
Okay.
Did you make a motion?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, what is it?
Motion, $20 million.
If, are you your motion straight for investing $20 million?
With the caveat that they raise the other 40 million, so that they have
the other 60, 40 to get to 60.
Yeah, to is take it to 60, mean? So that we when we all go in.
Isn't that already part of what they said, though? They're not going to do it unless they get $60 million.
Is that what's been said?
Yeah. That's,
well,
that's
there's a business case that they're stating, but you're stating this is a binding. You're making it binding.
So Jerry's made that motion as a substitute motion, I assume, yeah. Jerry?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to Jerry?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further comment on the substitute motion? So we'll vote on that first. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Aye. Raise your hand. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Okay. So substitute motion fails. Then we vote on the original motion, which is to not commit any money to this fund at this time. All those in favor of that motion, raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
That motion carries. Okay. We've got two more items, well, a couple more items on the agenda. Do we want to break for lunch?
And come back.
Yeah. I have a very interesting stomach, and
I
have to
that,
eat
no
by
I have a firm commitment at 2:30.
At 2:30, okay.
You can do it
here.
I can
do it here. Yeah.
He can make, you can make your call.
I can make
here.
Your call if you can find
okay.
me in office.
You want to take about 20 minutes, have some lunch, and it's in the other room, and come back, and we'll finish
you
up.
Can do yours. You want to do, we'll set you up for your call here.
Yeah.
Okay. So.